we present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Sheena Hancock in Just a Minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four competitors to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card in front of me. And according to how well they do this, they will gain points, or their opponents will gain points. And that's how we play. And let's begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Well, that's gone down well with the audience. Kenneth, the subject that Ian Messer has thought of is My Life So Far. Can you talk to us about My Life So Far, starting now?
To be strictly factual, it has reached its 45th year, and I have been blessed with great wisdom. I suppose this has been due to my development and the wise guidance of those counsellors who have come to my aid on so many occasions, some joyously happy and some dreadfully sad moments in my life. And, of course, it has been developed largely because of the day when I stood on the stage and gave this incredible audition. They said, who'd you do? And I said, Mabel Constant-Duro's in a bush hat. They said, that's marvellous, give us an idea. And I said, well, I'll come short of my bush hat. And they said, what are we engaged for?
Clement Freud has challenged you.
I didn't know how many bush hats she was wearing.
You certainly were having more than one bush hat.
Yes.
Your bush hat came in twice. So that was a correct challenge for repetition of Bush, and Clement Freud therefore takes over the subject, having gained a point. And there are 18 seconds left, Clement. My life so far, starting now.
When I went into this soft furnishing shop to ask for a Chesterfield, the man suggested a divan, and I said, no, the one over there. And he said, that is a sofa which will last you for a very long time. My life,
Sheila Hancock has challenged you.
Deviation, do you buy Chesterfields in soft furnishing shops? I thought you bought materials and curtains and cushions.
Yes, exactly.
It is possible. I mean, after all, you do find some strange things in all kinds of different shops, but I think it's possible to find a Chesterfield.
I would have called it a furniture shop where you bought a Chesterfield, not a soft. It might be a hard
Chesterfield. Yes, I'm afraid she is right. I'm afraid she's absolutely right. You've never done it.
Yes, well, all right.
Chairs and tables,
they were named after Lord Chesterfield,
energy,
who was very hard.
About molecular energy, don't
you? You're all finished. I would have thought that a Chesterfield was a very soft piece of furnishing, even...
No, we're not concerned with what you would have thought.
All right, when there is a disagreement amongst the four members of the panel like this, the four contestants, I do the only thing possible. I bow to the superior intelligence and wisdom of our delightful audience and say, will you be the final judges?
You're crawling, you're not bowing at all.
Well, I will crawl to our delightful audience. If you agree with Sheila's challenge, will you cheer? And if you disagree, will you boo? And will you all do it together now?
Hooray!
I think the hoorays had it just.
Yes, they all had it.
Just had it, yes. Sheila, you got in with only 4 seconds ago, which was very clever. You have a point for a correct challenge, and you have My Life So Far, starting now.
It has been a preparation for what is to come. I have gained experience.
That whistle, which is so elegantly blown for us by Ian Messiter, tells us that 60 seconds is up. And whoever is speaking at that particular moment gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Sheila Hancock. So she has a lead of one at the end of the first round. Peter Jones, will you begin the second round?
Yes, certainly I will.
I'm glad you will. Right. Peter, what a delightful subject for you. Unblocking the drain. Can you talk to us about unblocking the drain for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, Ian Messiter obviously chose this subject with the idea of bringing down the level of the game from the pinnacles of Kenneth Williams' oratory, the beautiful white ivory towers, down into some area of the sub-basement where the drains are situated. I'm going to treat this subject metaphorically. Let us think of it rather as a clearing of the way, a renewing of ourselves, ready for that great moment which must come to us all when the...
That, I'm afraid, was a hesitation. You have a correct challenge, you have a point, Kenneth, and you have 22 seconds for unblocking the drain, starting now.
I have done this frequently. You take hold of this soda...
Peter Jones has challenged why?
Repetition. He said he'd done it frequently.
Thank you very much. All right, so we give Peter Jones a point for
I wouldn't. It's a rotten joke.
I never said for a joke. I was going to say for a clever challenge. But as you didn't actually deviate from the subject on the card, and it's not repetition of any word, we don't give it against you, Kenneth. You keep the subject, and you have 18 seconds left, starting now.
And you pour down the boiling water with a combination of this caustic soda. The result is a kind of explosion. I rush out the room in fear and trembling, because the stink is appalling, as all these terrible maggots and awful germs that are all down there lurking like mad. They're lurking round the S-bending.
Well, Kenneth Williams was...
equal with her. Go on, tell me I'm equal with her.
I was about to say that Kenneth Williams was unblocking the drains when the whistle went, so he gained some points. He is equal with Sheila Hancock.
Oh.
And for once, Clement Freud's in last place.
Oh, you're in last place? I'll come down.
But there's only one point between all of you. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, seeing a friend off at a railway station. Can you talk to us about that for 60 seconds, starting now?
Seeing a friend off at a railway station is a particularly good subject about which to talk because it is long, seeing a friend off at a railway station. And you have to find out very carefully which railway station. It could be Marylebone, King's Cross, Liverpool Street, possibly even Baker, or...
Peter Jones, yes.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, yes. He got this lovely idea of going through all the stations, and he suddenly realised that some of them also had the word street in them more than... So, Peter, a correct challenge, a point to you, 32 seconds for seeing a friend off at a railway station starting now.
It's the title.
challenge you there.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid that was a hesitation, Peter. Lemon has the Why do you laugh at other people's misfortune?
Well, because he was crowing having got in, and then he went and made a mistake himself.
You'll all laugh when
crowing?
You get
yeah.
it.
He's never been known to crow.
I have never crowed.
Crow
or
not.
I haven't grovelled either. Have I?
Clement Freud has the subject under 31 seconds for seeing a friend off at a railway station starting now.
Seeing a friend off at a railway station is a nice... friendly gesture.
Peter Jones is challenged again.
You're slowing up to a point of hesitation.
Yes, but he hadn't yet reached it. So Clement Freud has another point, and there are 24 seconds for seeing a friend off at a railway station starting now.
Passing through the ticket barrier, there are a choice of platforms. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
As they're jokingly called.
Deviation, because if you're seeing a friend off, you wouldn't have any choice. There'd only be one platform they'd be leaving from. They couldn't be leaving from half a dozen.
Yeah, but you still have a choice of platforms at a railway station.
If you're seeing a friend off, you're not
looking
over the...
Yes, but he did not say that you have a choice of platforms for your friend to go off from.
The train might have left sideways.
I disagree with the challenge, Kenneth. Well tried.
More fool Clement... you. You don't know what side your bread's buttered, mate. You outside.
All I know is that I try to be as fair as possible, and that's the best side of butter my bread. Clement has another point, and there are 18 seconds left for seeing a friend off at a railway station, starting now.
London termini have refreshment kiosks at which you can entertain friends and give them sustenance.
Kenneth Williams has challenged again.
Deviation. Nobody would go to a railway station to entertain their friends. It's not
I think the audience has demonstrated that everybody's in sympathy, that nobody
Clement
would deliberately
Knight.
Go to a railway station to entertain a friend at a British railway kiosk.
It's just a sort of macabre thing he would do.
That's the thing.
Come and have a party on St Pancras Station.
You see the difficulty I have in decisions. One might say, well, Clement Freud has such macabre ideas, he would try and entertain his friends at a railway station kiosk. But I think the sympathy's with you on this one, Kenneth, so I agree with your challenge. You take a point and the subject, and there are 12 seconds left, starting now.
Well, of course, you say, bon voyage, my darling, and would that I might plant. I haven't finished. I was going to say, would that I might plant an English kiss upon thy cheeks, because yes. I frequently plant them on people.
But before you manage to plant anything, Peter Jones challenged you.
What
was your challenge, Peter?
Well, you wouldn't say, my darling, to a friend.
You don't know my friends.
You say to your friends, Peter?
I don't know, but that particular endearment would suggest that they were more than friends.
They are, dear. Yes, we may know you, Joe. Never have had him on the show. Why ask him?
What? We want to know what else you're planting on British railway platforms, Kenneth, and you have 6 seconds to tell us starting now.
Don't eat the egg sandwiches on the way because your breath will smell, as it always leaves the most displeasing odour, so always stick something fresh.
Well, Kenneth's kiss on his friend's cheeks and eating egg sandwiches put him into the lead at the end of that round.
Quite right.
I'm glad that got the spontaneous round of applause we all expected. And, Sheila, it is your turn to begin. Going from the subject of seeing a friend off at a railway station, the subject now is simply my friends. Oh. Sheila, can you talk to us about my friends starting now?
Well, I frequently call them my darling, whether they be very good or very bad. I often meet my friends on railway stations as well. I have a friend called Maureen who looks after me and is a dear. I have 3 sometime friends on this programme, depending on whether they're going to buzz me on this or not.
And they have Kenneth.
Well, I think it's a deviation because what? It's grossly unfair to say that we're sometimer friends. We've stuck by her through thick and thin. I knew her. I knew her when she was in a gutter. Don't worry, dear. I knew her when she used to go around London on a moped. That's a fact.
Well, you used to ride on the back.
That's not the reason. Shut up. What a thing to say. Here. Oh.
I thought you might have...
Shut up, laying on about that. I'm going around with Aya Khan now. I'm trying to put it on a bit.
Kenneth, what was your challenge? That yes, we are still her friend. You're still her friend.
Sometime friend is deviation insofar as we remain her friends.
Oh, it's a very subtle point.
That's true, so I will give it up.
You have, you've made my life very much easier by doing that. Sheila, an incorrect challenge, so you gain a point. 39 seconds left for my friends starting now.
It's an interesting fact that I came into the life without any friends when I was born, and I will probably go out of it without any. Oh.
Clement Freud's challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation.
Without?
Yes, because you repeated it and then you hesitated, you see.
Yes.
You might sometimes get away with it because they miss it or generosity, no. All right, 30 seconds for you, Clement, on my friends starting now.
When Mark Antony said, my friends, Romans and countrymen.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Deviation. Mark Antony didn't say my friends.
What did he say? Come on.
Friends.
Just friends.
Friends, yes. He might have said my friends.
He might have said my darlings if he'd been
something. Don't you put your in. I meant your oaring.
Yes,
isn't that funny? I meant funny the way you go wrong in this joke.
This is another one of those impossible situations because in Shakespeare's play he says, you know, friends, Romans, countrymen.
Yes, so he didn't say it right, so I get
the point. Was Clement Freud quoting then or not?
Yes, he said where Mark Antony said. He's just said Mark Antony. What are you talking about?
I think from the way he said it, it was obvious that he was definitely quoting and he misquoted, so therefore it is... Kenneth Williams has a point and 25 seconds for my friends starting now.
They have come to me and sought the good God gave them to me. They came like the gentle rain from heaven upon my fevered brow and all at once a great vision appeared.
Sheila Hancock's challenged you on your great vision.
When have your friends come from heaven onto your brow?
This is... You are an ignorant clock, you know.
Well, you were quoting a bit of The Quality of Mercy.
This isn't, that's Emerson. My friends have come to me unsought, the good God gave them. That's Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson,
but
an author of which you are obviously not familiar.
Neither are you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience and our listeners who are still with us,
ladies and gentlemen in this
an
audience,
what are
you
talking
about? You now know why Sheila Hancock said her sometime friend, Kenneth Williams. He sometimes isn't.
How rotten of you to throw those words back in my face.
You were throwing enough in Sheila's face, then he's
she
got up.
She interrupted me in full flow. I was starting on the waters. I was launching on the waters of oratory, wasn't I? I was launching myself there. I was throbbing with it.
And
now it's
were.
All ruined.
It isn't. You'll get going again. We've gained you confidence in you. You've gained a point in the process. And
but he's crying. Look at him.
He's bored.
Oh, thank you. That's nice. That's encouraging. That is nice, isn't it?
You've been bored before now.
I thought he was praying.
Anyway, let's get on with the game. Kenneth Williams has a point for an incorrect challenge, and he has 12 seconds left for my friends, starting now.
They come to give us the sympathy and...
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
They've come before.
They've come before, and they've come again.
Not in this round.
Yes.
They have.
Not in this round.
Yeah, twice in the last sentence.
They've been coming very often in this round, I'm afraid. Sheila has a point, and there are 9 seconds on my friends, starting...
She's just doing it to get in before the 9 seconds. That's what she's trying to do.
No, and that is part of the game.
Oh,
she's got in this
time.
Sheila Hancock, you have 9 seconds. My friends, starting now.
Clement, Kenneth, Peter, Nicholas, Ian, David, John, Frederick, Peter.
Clement Freud has challenged. What?
Deviation, they're all men.
I can believe that Sheila Hancock has plenty of men friends.
That's the way she deviates, exactly, yeah.
I wouldn't call that devious. If they were all women friends, I might think it was devious. They're all male friends, undevious, and quite natural and normal. Sheila has another point, and she starts now.
I couldn't possibly exist without them.
So after that, tumultuous round. Sheila Hancock gained the extra point, by the way, for speaking with the
witch. By cheating, by waiting, and I've done all the spade work. Why don't you admit it?
You got points because you had incorrect challenges
against
you.
Yes, but that's poor recompense. It's poor recompense.
Is it poor recompense that you're still in the lead?
Oh, am I?
Yes.
Well, that's nice.
And you're one ahead of Sheila, who's in second place. And Kenneth, the subject is now with you, something which I'm sure you can talk about. What Gladstone said in 1888. So, before you completely collapse, will you try and tell us what Gladstone said in 1888 in just a minute, starting now?
It was an extremely long time, one whole year. Of course, he could have said loads and loads of things. But one thing we do know is that he was a great Liberal Prime Minister and lost his seat. I mean, that is to say, he lost the premiership.
Sheila Hancock has challenged you.
You did lose both times.
Yes, it was very definite. Lost. So Sheila.
Oh, well, you see, I'm not doing that sort of thing, listening to people's mistakes. I just listen to people talking.
They've been very fair with you so far, Kenneth. And that time Sheila got in with a repetition of lost, she gains a point.
You'll get it back, because I've no idea what he said in 1888.
Well, you have 40 seconds to try and tell us something what he said, Sheila, starting now.
My girl, you should change your ways and leave the streets and become pure and good. I will help you. Come to my house and I will teach you how to become a good woman.
Kenneth Williams has challenged
one. Too good.
Yes,
there were two good, yes. So you've got it back, just as Sheila said, with great panache and tenacity and cute listening, and you're in there, still with the lead, and there are 28 seconds on what Gladstone said in 1888, starting now.
But he certainly did say to a leather merchant, why don't you make a bag that would suit the things I have to carry instead of making them flat? And this bloke said, well, I'd be delighted to accommodate you, dear. Just step right in the shop and have a look round. Tell me the shape you got in mind. And he said, well, it would begin at the top quite thin and then bulge a bit so I can get all the bulky bits down there. He said, what are the bulky bits you're carrying?
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of bulky bits.
There were too many bulky bits, I'm afraid.
Have you seen Gladstone?
So Clement has another point and he has 3 seconds for what Gladstone said in 1888, starting now.
My friends, Romans and countrymen.
Clement was waiting for the opportunity to get back and say that anybody could have said that at any time, and he decided that Gladstone said it. And so, speaking when the whistle went, he gained the extra point. He's crept up on Sheila, and Kenneth is still 1 point ahead of Sheila and still in the lead at the end of that round. Clement Freud, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is my favourite humorist. Can you talk to us about him for 60 seconds, starting... I'm as explained to this as... But a delightful smirk has come over Kenneth's face because he hopes what Clement Freud will say as he sits beside him. But, Clement, who is your favourite humorist in 60 seconds starting now?
My favourite humorist is a small, insignificant, middle-aged, dead Canadian whose name was Stephen Leacock. A man, I think, of enormous humour, panache, inventiveness, style, and creative ability. Among the most exciting things which he wrote was an essay called A Visit to the Bank, which encompasses the history of a man attempting to open a credit account at a savings institution in downtown Toronto. All of which is untrue, but I would be bound to repeat words were I to emulate correctly the essay.
Peter Jones, you challenge why?
Hesitation.
No, there's no hesitation, Peter. No.
We were all fascinated to see how he could keep going.
That's his rhetorical style, you see. That's his rhetorical style. That is his rhetoric.
It isn't really. He goes a bit faster, usually. But I don't think he quite reached that point of hesitation. So I will give him the benefit of the doubt on this occasion and say there are 15 seconds, Clement, for you to continue with my favourite humorist starting now.
So this male human being walked into a financial emporium and addressed the clerk in the following manner. I should like, he said, to open an account. To which the employee replied, certainly, will you walk this way?
It sounded rather devious, that line.
He didn't tell you the tagline. If I could walk like that, I wouldn't want an account.
And that definitely was not Stephen Leacock.
Oh, Lord, it was all to the
And also, he repeated the word account right at the beginning. He had
but
this
I thought I was waiting for the end of the story because it had all seemed so unfunny up until then. I was waiting for the tag.
Well, unfunny as it was, it gained him some extra points and he's now taken the lead at the end of that round. Sheila Hancock, your turn to begin. The subject, oh, so apt for this game, truth. Can you talk to us on truth for 60 seconds, starting now?
It's something that I don't believe is totally necessary in this life. Contrary to what you're taught when you're a child, I think it is sometimes very good to tell a white lie in order to preserve people's feelings. In fact, I think it's well nigh impossible to go through life always telling the truth unless you're a very nasty person. I mean, for instance, it wouldn't be kind to go up to Kenneth Williams and say, shut your face, as he often says to me, although it may be truthful in order to keep him quiet. But I think...
Yes, the look on your face made her hesitate. That was what it was, Kenneth. So you have another point, Kenneth, for a correct challenge, and there are 27 seconds for truth, starting now.
And it has long ago been established, of course, that it is outside of man, and therefore not controlled by man.
Clement Freud, challenge first.
Man.
I hadn't finished. I was about to say mankind. You interrupted, you see.
In that case, hesitation.
Actually, it's a very difficult thing to judge on, but I think we must be accurate here. You see, the others could have challenged, and you definitely said man.
Oh,
and
give
you didn't...
it to him, dear. Give it. I don't know.
If you're going to say...
I've got humility, dear. I'll take a back seat. I'm not trying to attract attention. I'm not here for my own benefit. I'm here
Kenneth.
To play the game, be constitutional. If that's your verdict, I'll abide by it.
Kenneth. As Sheila said, are you being truthful?
Yes.
Anyway, the point is this. If you're going to say mankind, you must say mankind like that and not man. And so Clement has another point. And there are 18 seconds for truth, Clement, starting now.
When I joined the Boy Scouts, the law was Tracy.
Peter Jones has challenged
you. Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, yes. There was. He was intimidated by Kenneth Williams.
No.
Oh,
no,
I've encouraged him.
Peter, you have the subject, and there are 13 seconds for truth starting now.
Take away the facts and bring me the truth, I said. And my small boy repeated these instructions to his younger brother and brought a jam jar full of tadpoles into the bedroom.
Peter Jones was speaking when the whistle went, and so he gained the extra point. And also, I'm afraid I have to tell you, we have no more time to play Just a Minute this week. And so it remains for me to give you the final score. As you might have guessed from the way things have been going, Peter Jones was just in fourth place. Sheila Hancock was only just in third place. Only 2 points behind Kenneth Williams, who was only 1 point behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope that you have enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute. And from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.